Okay, before we continue on with the scriptures, I just want to pass on a little tip from my lovely wife, Dolores, on how she takes care of ever-growing things in closets, in drawers, in bookcases, in storage. Every once in a while, she purges many different places. She'll do the closet one time, the bookcase another time, etc. And her formula is this. When she looks at it or picks up a book or whatever it is, she asks herself this question. Is it a friend? That means, can I really use it? Is it an acquaintance? Really, I need to consider getting rid of it. Or is it an enemy? And the enemy means it's something hanging around you really don't need. And so that's how she purges it. Is it a friend? Is it acquaintance? Is it enemy? And she gets rid of most of the clinging on acquaintances. Okay, so that's how she does it. Okay. Now let's come to the book of Jeremiah. Oh, we'll stop by Isaiah first. Okay. Isaiah 30. Now here tells us the cause as to how these things become accepted and part of our way of living and society. And it's because those who teach us really do not teach us. So let's pick it up here in verse 8, Deuteronomy 30. Now go, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book, so that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Now, this is why we have these things come upon us, see? And we all think we're good people, and we all think we're doing God's will. And if we're not doing God's will, then we see who we can blame is the cause of it, and we always blame the wrong person, see? Number one, each person is responsible to God, him or herself. But they have to be taught. We all have to be taught. When we're born, we know nothing. So here's what God says, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Now, I wonder what would happen if someone would stand in the middle of Times Square and say, repent, or worst evil is going to fall upon you. They would. They would drive him away. They would think he's an utter loon. They would have the police arrest him. See? You must cease all your holy days. Okay? And it has to start with Cardinal Nolan. You have to repent and teach the law of God. Not just use it to your advantage so your sermons sound like they're good. Okay? But here's what happens. They're all political, and they all give way to sin. Who say to the seer, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to his right things, speak to his smooth things, prophesy illusions. And that's just exactly what we get on television, isn't it? It's all an illusion. All the programs are prescripted from start to finish. The news is edited to fit the political content of the commentators. All of the ads is a false reality of everything. But everything is happy, 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 happy. And there's one ad for UPS that you will see about logistics. And there's a meeting where they're all sitting around the table and they are shipping things out and so forth. And the boss says he's happy. The secretary says she's happy. The shipping clerk says he's happy. The order taker says he's happy. The other woman says she's happy. So it's happy, 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 happy. And then they find out that there's a package that is not going to be delivered where it should be delivered. And the runner or the errand boy comes in with his cart and he says, well, if you use UPS, you can have them go ahead and reroute it and give it to her so she will receive her package. So it shows her receiving her package, and she says, I'm happy. And then it comes back to the boardroom, and everybody says, happy, 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 happy. And I think that is the epitome of all of the ads on television that are to make you wiser, smarter, slimmer, stronger. What else? Yeah, more beautiful. Yes. Lift you up. Okay. Yes. Yes, yes. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Don't lie to me at all. Who is the fairest of all? Well, it's you, Dodo. Hey. Illusions. And that's how people get themselves in trouble. Hey. They don't believe things. They make believe. Make believe. Yes. Well, to say nothing of all the medical and neuromedical ads. Oh, this will make you happy. This will help you stop smoking. This will get rid of your low blood pressure. But you may have thoughts of suicide. You may... yes, you may turn into a kleptomaniac, but that's okay. We're giving you these... okay. All right, all right. We won't get into the human plumbing aspect of it here. Now think about this, because every part of our society is geared to this next verse. See? Not only don't speak to us right things, speak to us smooth things. We don't want any correction. We don't want any discipline. We don't want any hardship. We want to be better and better and better and better and gooder and gooder and gooder. Okay? And if we're bad and badder and baddest, then we're still okay. All right? But here's the sum total of everything that happens in the churches, in the schools, in finance, in community life, in neighborhood activities, in things that we teach our children. Get out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Don't tell us about God. We want our own way. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word. See, now there's judgment. That's what just happened. And if there are not enough people that turn back from that judgment and quit their sinning and conniving and lying and cheating and stealing and robbing, committing adultery, perversion, fornication, etc., and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them. Now that one verse is the sum total of our modern experience. Now, someone sent me a little email. You can still get some good things on email. So here's a picture of a little boy trying to hold a Bible while it's a picture in class, but he's got chains on his hands. And it said, "This is forbidden." Then here is a whole group of dedicated jihadists worshiping in a mosque in America. And it says, "This is permitted." And I thought that tells the whole story. See, think of this now. None of these people enjoy being out of their homes. Matter of fact, it's very difficult. It's painful. There are some people who are kind enough to help others and put them up and let them stay with them. So there are some good things that come out of it. And there are some people who are trying to do some good and right things. But Mayor Doomberg, as he is called, wanted to have the New York Marathon because he wanted the $300 million income coming into the city. And they were putting people out of the hotels who were put in there because their homes were blown away. So the uproar made him cancel it. But it just shows you the absolute godless thinking of people in the leaders. See? So it's the ministers, it's the teachers, it's the political leaders. There are a few trying to do good, But if they try and do good, oh, you're a right-wing extremist, or you're, you know, you're this, you're that, you're the other. All right? So we rely on them. Verse 13, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. Isn't that what happened in New York City? Were they prepared for this? No. Did they ever think that their subways would be flooded? No. Did they ever think that their tunnels to New Jersey would be filled with 75 feet of water? No. Did they ever think that their homes would be blown away by the hurricane? No. Swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. We've seen that how many times, repeated over and over and over again. And you can look around the world and you can see the same thing too. But God has special punishment for those who are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who live in the country with us. See, God says you shall have one law for everyone. You shall not discriminate. You shall not oppress. You shall not rob. You shall not take. See? But we've done all of that, haven't we? So here's what God says is eventually going to happen. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Okay? Now, if there is repentance, God will restore. Remember that. God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. God doesn't want us to be exterminated. Let's see the purpose of correction. Let's come here to Ezekiel 33, and let's apply this likewise. This also shows that God does not want the wicked to die. So God brings out about the one to warn, right? Now think about all the warnings that they had for this hurricane. It's going to be big. It's going to be devastating. You better get out. You better go someplace safe. All those of you who live along the water, this is going to be worse than you have ever experienced. All right? They were duly warned. So likewise with God. Verse 7. And you, son of man, I have set you as a watchman to the house of Israel. Well, everyone who's a teacher of the Word of God is a watchman to the people that he serves. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth and warn them from me. So anytime you bring them the Word of God, it's from God. It's his warning. When I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die. If you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, and that wicked one die in his iniquity, see, that wicked one shall die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hand. See? So put in your notes there, Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not. Now, people who live in the illusions of happy, 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 goody, 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 be careful that you do not reject warnings that come from God. But he says, verse 9, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, speak to the house of Israel, thus shall you speak to them, saying, when our iniquities and our sins are on us, and we are wasting away in them, how then shall we live? Well, the way you're going to live is return to God. Say to them, as I live, now this is God saying, because I live for eternity, what I'm saying, I'm basing upon my very existence. I'm a God of love, a God of truth, a God of also of vengeance and destroyer of the wicked. But he says, verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no delight in the death of the wicked. Now you see, people in the world have no comprehension of how God is going to solve this problem, because they reject the word of God, though they claim they're Christian, and they know nothing concerning the second resurrection. So God is going to take care of all of those things. Okay? But that doesn't relieve us of our duty and obligation before God to make these things known. I have no delight in the death of the wicked, except the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Now this is just to the nation. A call to salvation is beyond that. See? And you have to answer the call, and the requirement becomes much higher. The standard is spiritual, see. Here, this is just for the nation. Therefore, son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it in the day he turns from his wickedness. Nor shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. God is fair, God is righteous, and God looks down and judges the nations. Now hold your place right here. We'll come back. Come over here to Jeremiah 18. We've covered this before, but this is good for us to remember. Jeremiah 18. Because God is actively involved in the nations, through his angels and the demons, through the leaders, through the people. Now pick it up here, verse 7, Jeremiah 18. We'll come back to Ezekiel 33. Okay? If at any time, now that's on down through time and history, okay? And we use the word of God to warn. That's the same as God speaking. If at any time I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up, and to pull it down, and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, and we've seen that with Jonah and the nation of Assyria and the men of Nineveh, they turn from their evil. The only account of real, real repentance, and that by those who were not the children of Israel. Okay? If that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do to them. Look at what he did with Ahab. He sent Elijah to tell Ahab, you're going to die. You're the most wicked person that there ever was. And you're going to have your blood lapped up by the dogs as well as Jezebel, your wife. And you are going to be expunged from this earth. What did Ahab do? He repented. Put on sackcloth, it says, and he walked tenderly. So what did God do? He told Elijah. Elijah was out there. He came and gave this stinging rebuke to Ahab, told him this is going to happen. So God saw what Ahab was doing, and God told Elijah, look at my servant Ahab. From being so wicked, now he's my servant. Okay, so you go tell him. Yeah, Jezebel hadn't, but Ahab had. So that deferred Jezebel's death for a while too. That's correct. So you go tell him that the punishment is deferred. Okay, just like right here. How quick did God change his mind? Now that can happen to an individual. That can happen to husband and wife. Can happen to a family. That can happen to a community. That can happen to a church. If we turn, God will instantly forgive. But we don't go back and do it. See? Verse 18, or verse 8 now. If that nation against whom I have spoken will turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do to them. If at any time I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good which I said I would do them good. Okay? So there again. Notice verse 11. Therefore, Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the people of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am forming evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return now, each one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. But they said, there's no hope. All right, back to Ezekiel 33. So see how God, in all of these instances, brings this correction so that there will be change. How about being nice to your neighbor? How about helping your neighbor? How about saying to those who drove all the way up from Alabama to help bring and restore electricity to 2 million people, thank you for your help. We're glad to work beside you. All right, back to Ezekiel 33. Okay, verse 14. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. That's what God said to Ahab. If he turns from his sin and does that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restores back the pledge, gives back again what he had robbed, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, then he shall surely live, he shall not die. See, now that's how God will deal with people in the world. He hasn't called them to salvation, but you've got to have some sense of right and wrong, good and evil, and rehabilitation as well. None of his sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say, the way of the Lord is not fair. No. Why does he require the Sabbath? Our Sunday's good enough for him. See? You mean I got to quit working on Saturday? You mean I've got to keep the holy days? See? But as for them, it is their way that is not fair, because they've been living in sin. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die in it. But if the wicked turns from his wickedness and does that which is lawful and right, he shall live in it. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways. And that's how God deals with it. We don't know how God does it. We don't know how God looks at it. I'm always amazed when there are these fires that sweep through areas, and all of a sudden, here's a home that wasn't even touched. Same way in a path of a hurricane or path of a tornado. Everything is devastated all around, yet here's his house still standing. I don't know. I'm glad God is the one who does it. But you see, there is always mercy, there is always forgiveness, there is always a way back to God that is really very important for us to understand, see? So when these things occur, it's an opportunity for all of us to say, well, you know, God is the one who controls everything that there is, and if we see this happen to those people, we need to pray for them, we need to help them, we need to assist them. We need to let them know what the truth is, whether they will hear or whether they won't hear. Those things come along that way. All right? Now, let's come and see. Okay. All right, let's come to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Now, this is a great psalm. And this is what we need to do. All of what we've been covering here is the result of forgetting God, the result of not remembering him. And let's look at the promise here. Let's look how he deals with us. All right? Verse 1, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. See, we need to have our whole lives dedicated to God. Everything that we do. There's nothing we didn't receive, and we live and move and have our being because of him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And benefits are not determined by the number of things. Benefits are determined by the blessing of God, which he gives to you, which automatically comes Notice verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. That's why the daily prayer is, forgive us our sins. Who heals all your diseases. And yes, he does, and watches over us. Who redeems your life from destruction. Look back and see how many times that God has spared you from a catastrophe. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, this is what God wants us to focus on. This is why these things happen, so that we can see the results. What happens when there's sin? What happens when people forget God? What happens when things are taken for granted? You know, look at what happened even to the churches of God because of that. See? I got an email from a man wondering why. What happened to the WCG? And he couldn't understand it. And I said, well, if you really believe in God and God's judgment, please understand that that did not happen because they were doing well. See, God judges for iniquity. God judges the heart. And so the fact that it's not there, we don't need to go into all great detail as to who did what, when, and how. What we need to do is focus on where we're going ourselves, see. But God has taken care of it, see. So it's not equated in the things that we have, see. He satisfies your desire with good things, and all of those are not necessarily possessions. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Stop and think. How has God blessed you in your life, even in spite of your circumstances? The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He'll take care of it eventually. Think of the second resurrection. Is that not the greatest relief from oppression that people have lived through? Yes, indeed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in mercy. And remember, that's what God told Moses when he went up to plead for the life of the children of Israel and to see some of his glory. Verse 9, here's another promise. He will not always chasten, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, he hasn't. Been merciful, been kind. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's why you see repentance, yielding to God, relationship with God is so important. As a father has compassion upon his children, so the Lord has compassion upon those who fear him. He knows our frame. Yes, indeed. He made us. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place shall know it no more. What a summary of life. And I think the older you get, the more that comes to a realization. But remember this. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him. And his righteousness is unto children's children. Think about this. That's why it's important that we concentrate on asking God to help us love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and being. Love our neighbors as ourselves. Love each other as Jesus loved us. Love our neighbor, our enemies, and pray for them. Now notice, here's another special thing that comes to those who keep his covenant. And think about the covenant of eternal life that God has called us to. And to those who remember his precepts to do them. Now then, let's just finish the verses here and see how that out of all of this tragedy, all of this destruction and death and doom and gloom and all of that, the whole purpose is that people would examine their lives and return to God, even the ones in the land who are not called to salvation, that they will learn to do good, that they will put away the evil of their doing. You see, unfortunately, those union members who were so staunch for their union didn't realize they had a chance to really be kind and say, oh, glad you're here to help us relieve all of those who are without electricity. And today, electricity is more needed than food and water because everything we do is dependent upon electricity. See? So this all comes from God. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens. Read Revelation 4 and 5. His kingdom rules over all. God is in charge of everything, everywhere, at all times. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, mighty in strength, who do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word, to carry out what God wants done on the earth. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So when these things happen, we need to see God's hand in it. We need to see what we need to do. And these things continue to come because every generation has turned its back on God to one degree or another. So that's why these things continue to come. Let's hope there are others preaching the same message. Let's hope there are people who are coming to their senses. Let's hope that there are those who have been committing iniquity and sins, that they cease from doing it so that God can bless them just even in the letter of the law in the land. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.